So some of these management agreements also used inducements or kickbacks to the physicians to get them to order a substantial number of tests. For example, we saw arrangements with physician ownership and a management services organization that, you know, may or may not actually provide management services to the laboratory or to the hospital. We actually heard from one physician who contacted us, and she had invested $10,000 in one of these lab MSOs. And in exchange, she received a $100,000 return on her investment in year one. So, I mean, the dollars that some of these physicians may have been receiving from these MSOs was substantial, especially according, you know, to their initial investment. Due to the high volume of tests ordered by some of these physicians or in passing through the hospitals, some would argue that these tests were unnecessary, clinically inappropriate for some of the patients, or had no clinical utility. So medical necessity for these lab tests became a big issue. Another concern were some of these physicians, or really most of them, as well as the patients who they were running lab tests for, never visited the hospital and lived across the state. And so what would occur is you'd have a patient maybe in Austin or Houston, and they receive a bill from a hospital in the panhandle for their lab work, and that would create a lot of confusion. Once payments were received by the hospitals from the insurance companies, the hospital would typically split that revenue with the management company on a percentage basis in the form of a management fee under the management agreement. And typically, the lab company was recouping the larger percentage of those payments. Well, it didn't take long for the insurance companies and even the federal government to catch on to some of these arrangements. In March 2019, the former CEO of Palo Pinto General Hospital pled guilty to defrauding three major insurance providers, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, and United Healthcare, out of millions of dollars as a result of one of these lab arrangements. He ended up getting sentenced to 5 years probation and having to pay restitution of $2.4 million to the insurance companies. Also related to those same arrangements, in October of 2020, a federal grand jury indicted four executives of the lab companies that were involved with Palo Pinto General Hospital. Blue Cross Blue Shield is also in court-ordered arbitration with Knox County Hospital District in Knox City, Texas, over a $21 million lawsuit related to a lab management agreement. That same hospital district is also in a dispute with Aetna and claims that Aetna owes the hospital $12 million related to lab management services provided by the hospital.
Jaron, can I jump in here and just say I've had the pleasure of going through mediation with Blue Cross on this issue. And one thing they brought up that, you know, it's an argument is, well, if the patient never came to your hospital and the lab was that the specimen was just sent to you, why are you not then a reference lab? And, you know, and we would pay you what we would pay a reference lab, which is a whole lot less than an inpatient hospital lab. So, you know, that's quite a strong argument.
I completely agree. It's hard to argue with that, you know, and that was one of the things we've seen is, you know, when these claims were submitted, the coding wasn't necessarily always accurate, you know, how they were coding these patients, whether they were outpatients of the hospital and what under the payer contracts, what was that definition versus, like you said, Kathy, just billing it as a reference lab claim. A couple other hospitals that have had, you know, disputes with the payers. In June 2020, Faith Community Hospital System refiled for Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection. And that was related to a judgment in favor of Blue Cross Blue Shield for $29.3 million related to a lab management agreement. However, what I found most interesting is the hospitals haven't always lost these cases with the payers. In May 2020, an arbiter ordered Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay $108.3 million in damages and attorney's fees to Little River Healthcare, which operated two community hospitals in Central Texas. Those both those hospitals closed in 2018, basically as a result of non-payment of these claims. And so the arbiter ruled that Blue Cross Blue Shield had breached contracts and did not meet the Texas prompt pay statutes. Moving on to the Cook Children's lawsuit, just wanted to discuss this briefly. Yvonne did an excellent job yesterday discussing the case, but we wanted to discuss the impact from an operational standpoint that the case has had on community hospitals as well as urban hospitals. So just as a quick refresher, Chapter 166 of the Texas Health and Safety Code is the Advanced Directives Act, and it generally allows hospitals to stop treatment of a patient if a panel determines further treatment is causing unnecessary suffering without hope of recovery.